drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Good morning and welcome on in. It is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Also, you can watch the show on YouTube. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. On a little bit early today, off a little bit early today as well for White Sox baseball, 8:30 to 10:30 with you. And Mike, you are live out at Cog Hill, the beautiful Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, as the Midwest Adaptive Open will be taking place later today. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Tyler, and good morning, Chicago. We are live here next to the putting green here at Course 3, and I've got two-time U.S. Open champion Andy North greeting the contestants as they come walking up to the putting green, and it's great. They weren't expecting anyone to greet him, let alone a two-time U.S. Open champion. And I'm going to tell you something. He's even more of a gentleman than he is a golfer. So we're pleased as punch to have him. But I am located here looking over the first tee at Course 3. Right to my right is the 18th green. We have got the catbird seat for what is supposed to be going to be, I guess, a dynamite weekend for all of us. The Chicago Adaptive Open is about to get started. Our first tee time is at 10:10. We're going to have a ceremonial tee shot with Andy North and the legend of public golf in Chicago, Frank Jemczak, to get things started. And then the group of Evan Mathias and Tracy Raymond and Jonathan Snyder will hit the balls at 10:10, and off we go to start the competition of what we are considering a celebratory weekend for the CDGA, because this weekend in 2024, we are celebrating 110 years as an association governing golf in the Chicagoland area and most of Illinois, as well as 80 years of serving our veterans. And in addition, this year, 25-year anniversary for our Sunshine program, which is specific programming for individuals with disability, and then a 20-year anniversary for the Sunshine course, the three-hole course that is designed for the folks with disabilities and the whatnot to be able to come out and enjoy the game. And last night, we had a major celebration in honoring a fellow by the name of Gary Hansberger. And Gary, if you know the Hansberger name, anyone out there who's familiar with golf in the 60s, 70s, and 80s and knows Ram Golf, well, Ram Golf and the Hansberger family founded it and developed it into one of the most formidable golf companies we've ever seen, with the likes of Tom Watson and Raymond Floyd playing their equipment and winning U.S. Opens with it. Gary was kind enough late last year, he came into our building to donate his entire club collection, which we can't even begin to put a price tag on it because you just can't at this point. We have had USGA Rand Jarrus come in, a 32-year-old veteran from the USGA and a historian, to go through it, and he himself can't figure out the exact value of this thing. So last night, we unveiled a club collection that not only honored Gary and his family, but honestly, it honored all the Chicagoland manufacturers when it comes to golf club manufacturing. When you have the likes of Wilson and Tommy Armour and Mark Scott, Northwestern, Tour Edge Golf, Gary Adams, and believe it or not, folks, TaylorMade got started up in our northwest suburbs here. So Chicago has played a major historical role in equipment, and we honored Gary Hansberger last night, and all of the adaptive athletes played a practice round over here on Course 3, and they came over, and we had the celebration, the ceremony, and then everybody got to visit with Andy North, and a bunch of the corporate partners were in town to greet our guests and give a most hospitable Chicagoland welcome to the athletes that have come from 17 different states are competing here this weekend. And I am so excited that the weekend is finally here and Mother Nature is starting to cooperate.
Yeah, it looks like the rains are a thing of the past, knock on wood, and the temperatures will be there. It's going to be a hot one out there, but it should be a great day for golf. I did see on the televisions here in the studio, SportsCenter was doing a big feature on adaptive golf this morning, and I didn't have any of the sound on because we're in the studios, but I did see they were doing a big feature on all of the things that a lot of these athletes are overcoming to go out there on the course, and listen, they can play just as well as you or I out there, and it is really impressive what all of them are doing, and this is a great event at the Chicago Adaptive Open on Cog Hill number 3. You've got 17 states represented, as well as the country of Canada, and 12 of those players from Illinois, 50 overall as well, for a $15,000 purse. What are you most looking forward to out of this event that's taking place?
Well, you know, I'm actually excited for the spectators that are coming out to watch, to get the reaction of what they see these athletes do. It is so inspiring. And what's amazing, and I think you just sort of touched on it, every one of these golfers has a story. Something happened in their life that changed their life forever. But you know what? Golf has become the remedy therapeutically to help them enjoy a quality of life that they truly treasure, and they truly have gratitude, and they just play with such joys in their hearts. It's just so fun to see, and it reminds us, quite honestly, not to take the game so seriously, but also don't limit yourself. Because when you see what these people, men and women, are overcoming today, it is absolutely extraordinary and so inspiring. So for any folks that have kids, anybody that has a family member that might be suffering from an affliction or an accident or a tragedy, come on out this weekend. Your lives will be different forever. I'm telling you, it's so inspiring to watch these guys. And to your point, Evan Mathias just played a practice round yesterday, and he shot even par. And last week, he made
incredible.
Six birdies with a double and shot two under. He's one of the favorites. But we've got people coming in from, like I said, 17 states, California to Virginia, Florida, all the way up into Wisconsin. So north, south, east, and west, they're coming from all over the country. And Cog Hill has not disappointed. The golf course is in absolutely fantastic shape. And when you have the golfers coming and telling you last night just how great the golf course is, it makes for the whole rest of the weekend. Because if Mother Nature takes care of itself, now the players, it's all on them, and it's just going to be a joy to watch. And for those who don't get out here, you can stream on YouTube. If you go to our website, you can click on the link and you can watch 5 hours of live coverage where Dan Rohn will be our main announcer in the main commentary booth. How about that?
Big golfer himself, yeah.
Oh, fantastic golfer himself. And he was our MC last night. And when you put Andy North and Dan Rohn in the same room together, you've got probably two of the most quality individuals sitting in a room in an iconic way. And they were just terrific to be around last night. And the stories were just, I mean, incredible. I wish the night couldn't have ended because we could have gone on forever.
And for those who are interested in heading on out there, admission is free at Cog Hill. So if you're in the area or if you just want to go out and see some great golf here in the Chicagoland area, make it on out to Cog Hill, course number 3 for the Chicago Adaptive Open. That's where Mike is today on site for that. And we will have Andy North, a 2-time U.S. Open champion, on with us as well a little bit later on. And we'll also talk with Andrew Lehman, the John Deere Tournament Director, as well. He'll join us at 10 o'clock this morning. So looking forward to both of those conversations. If you want to join us as well, 312-332-3776. And Mike, coming up next, why don't we get into what was one of the odder finishes that I've ever seen at a golf tournament, and that's maybe ever been had at a golf tournament, whether or not you or I have seen it or not. Probably the craziest finish that you'll ever see at a golf tournament. We'll do that when we return. This is the CDGA Golf Show.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by PGA Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan with you here on The Golf Show as Mike is out at the Chicago Adaptive Open. Talking all things golf with you. Let's rewind to last week where we got maybe the craziest finish to a golf tournament that I've ever seen, both, I guess, on and somewhat off the course with all the things that went down. But we had protesters on the 18th green as Tom Kim was lining up a putt for birdie to try to force a playoff with Scottie Scheffler. He was successful in doing so, but the protesters came onto the 18th green that was being occupied by Kim, Scheffler, and also Akshay Bhatia. And a lot of those guys were just absolutely thrown by what they were seeing in the moment. I know Akshay was saying later he was fearing for his life of what was potentially happening. He had no idea what was going on. Security out in Newport was fantastic. They cleared everything in a pretty hasty fashion and got everyone taken care of there, and there was still some residue on the green. There was a delay, probably what, 15, 20 minutes of trying to clean up the green, trying to get off all of the smoke bomb residue that was out there, and it was a crazy scene out in this tournament at the Travelers, and I look back on that. I have never seen anything like it. They then make the putt for Tom Kim, that forces the playoff. Scotty misses his opportunity to solely take the win in regulation there. But for the 18th, or for the playoff rather, they play the 18th hole again, and they had to recut the hole for the 18th green because of what happened and the protesting and the way that there was some damage done to the green. So they recut the hole. It was a little bit closer up on the green from the tee box, and it was something that I've never seen. I've never seen a hole recut for a playoff like what we saw last Sunday.
You're right, Tyler. I'm not sure it's ever been done. We may have witnessed the first time. I know it was in PGA Tour history, but whether it is in any major championship, I'd have to believe that it is. But what I watched, I just was dumbfounded by it. In fact, I thought I was like dreaming, like I had taken a nap or something, and it looked so out of place. But once I realized, you know, it was a bunch of, you know, hooligans just, you know, doing a demonstration of sort, you know, it was interesting as I was watching the delay and watching and hearing the reaction of the fans, and you could tell when they, you know, were booing them, getting them off the course, which was all well and good. But, you know, it made me think, do you think any of those people that witnessed that are also now behind their cause in any way, shape,
right,
or form? I mean,
right,
it was just, they should have been arrested, and I hope that they were, and I hope that they show no leniency to them, because they really put these guys' safety in harm's way, and specifically Akshay. And Akshay has every reason in the world to fear something like that. There are thousands of them, and there's one of him and his caddy. And that's it. But I was impressed with how quickly the police did arrive in uniform and quickly shut it down. But to your point, the damage was done. And what I was also amazed at is how quickly the grounds crew came out. And they were willing to just go ahead and touch the material without, I mean, who knew what was in those things?
Right.
But fortunately, I think it was just a particular type of paint stain of sort. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, the damage was done. And what I was concerned about is it going to take away from the integrity of the finish?
Right.
Because at that moment, you had Scotty a chance to win it with what I would consider a very makeable putt
by his
guy's standards. And he darn near almost did. And then Tom Kim, I was hoping he'd make it just so that we can't say, well, if that would have never have happened, they would have done this. And sure enough, that little 22-year-old kid, he is so clutch and makes that thing. But what I also found interesting, when they got the word that they were going to cut the hole, Did you notice how long Tom Kim stuck around and measured up exactly where that flag was going in terms of paces from that bunker and paces from the front edge? Scotty could give two rips about it. He just went to the first tee. And I actually think that cost Tom Kim the event, because I think he tried to get too cute with a lob wedge from downtown distance, and he may have gotten 98.5% of it, but he needed to get all 100%. And obviously the results then spoke for themselves, and Scotty walked away. But I have to tell you, not impressed with those, demonstrators, and I just hope that these tournaments sit up and take notice as to how susceptible these guys can be if you get a lunatic in the crowd trying to do something, cause harm, cause vandalism. But, you know, why weren't these things snuffed out at the gate? Well, you can just take a backpack and throw it over the fence if you really are into this kind of thing. So that's the one thing about a golf event versus, like, going to Wrigley Field or the United Center. These athletes are more susceptible. It's one of the only sports that I'm aware of where you as a spectator are actually on the same field of play as the athletes that are playing. So, you know, I think it was an eye-opening experience in this day and age and where we are in this political arena. And I was just bummed out that it somehow had to wind up on a Sunday afternoon, you know, on the final group, the final day at Hartford, because I think the folks up in Hartford deserved a lot better. But nonetheless, still a great finish, but a crazy one at that.
Yeah, and I also wonder, too, how much recutting the hole had an impact on Tom Kim shorting that one. Because not only, like you mentioned, he brought out the lob wedge there, but not only was it that, but then he had the fried egg out of the bunker there. He never had a chance once that thing hit the sand.
No, because, you know, the lob wedge is up in the next stratosphere, and that thing is coming down at a spot wherever it lands on that green, that's where it's going to stop and maybe even back up. Well, that's a disaster when it lands in the sand, because it's not has any momentum to get itself out of its plugged lie. And he was plugged, and he said it before he hit the shot. He basically said, "I got one shot at making it, and that's it."
Yeah.
If this thing doesn't hit the pin and go in, I'm unless I can make one from the next area code outside of Hartford. But his goose was cooked the moment that thing went into the cat box, like we say. And Scotty, wow, you know what he did?
Six win.
He just won another one. So what is he, 4 of 8 in the signatures? I mean, that's insane. That's somebody's career, for crying out loud.
Right.
And then you throw in, oh, by the way, a Masters and a Players Championship. I'd say, man, that's a formidable career. Might even be worthy of some discussion about making it into the Hall of Fame. And he did it, what, in half a year?
Yeah, I mean, it's only June, and he's still on this blistering pace, and it doesn't look like it's slowing up anytime soon. The other thing, this was going around social media. Have you seen that since 2022, Scottie Scheffler has more victories than the Chicago Bears?
Oh.
He has 12, and the Bears have 10 since 2022.
Wow.
That's how, I mean, we're talking about an individual golfer. It's hard to win one tournament, let alone win six, let alone do it before the calendar flips to July.
That is absolutely incredible. I don't know if that speaks volumes about Scotty or how atrocious our football team in our town is. Just for the time being, though, it's going to change, I think, right?
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
That's the hope that there is there. But, yeah, I mean, what Scotty's doing right now is spectacular, and we haven't seen anything like this in quite some time since, really, Tiger Woods was blazing the trail and going out and winning all of the events that he was participating in about 15, 20 years ago. So it is something that Scotty just, it's a machine at this point. Every single thing, it feels like every single tournament he enters, he finds himself as the favorite, or a very, very short favorite at that too, because it's, I mean, we're seeing numbers on odds boards that we have not seen since Tiger. That's how far ahead of the pace he is right now.
No, and he really is, but he's doing it in a much more understated fashion than Tiger was. Tiger came, and, you know, and in fact, it was when Andy comes on board, I wanted to ask him more about some of the stories that he has about Tiger, but you know, he mentioned last night, it's like having the Beatles when you come through. Scotty has some draw, but he doesn't have that Tiger draw.
No.
But what he's doing, statistically speaking, is paralleling a lot of what Tiger did in, on certain stretches, even better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, when we come back, we will talk with two-time U.S. Open champion and ESPN golf analyst Andy North. He joins us next here on the CDGA Golf Show, the segment brought to you by PGA Superstore.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Do you do this every Saturday?
Uh-huh. For 32 weeks.
Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, and it is our pleasure now to be joined by two-time U.S. Open champion and also ESPN golf analyst Andy North joins us on the grounds out at Cog Hill ahead of the Chicago Adaptive Open. Good morning, Andy, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning. It's a pleasure. It's always nice to be on with you guys, and what you're doing is awesome, so keep up the good work.
You know, Tyler, you mentioned that Andy is a two-time U.S. Open champion, but I'll bet most of our listeners don't know that Andy also won the 1967 CDGA Junior Match Play up at Crystal Lake Country Club, July 10th to the 13th in 1967. And you want to tell us a little bit about it? Like, how in God's green earth did you come from Wisconsin and come into our state and take our title?
Well, there are some Wisconsin clubs that are members of the CDGA, particularly in the southern part of the state. No, I was really fortunate that I was lucky that a gentleman, Lee Milligan, was a pro at a course that we joined in Madison. He helped me get started in the game, and then he moved down to Barrington Hills after a couple of years, and he kept working with me. He put up with me for 50 years of trying to figure out this silly game, and no, he was great, and I played a lot of golf down here because of him, and Mondays were the greatest days in the world when he had off, and most of the big clubs were closed, and you'd go play Medina 1 and 3 in the same day, or go play Sunset Ridge and Onawinsia, or, you know, he took me, and we just played everywhere, and it was great, and over time, he finagled a way to get me in some of the CDGA junior events, but no, it's a great experience, and the golf in Chicago is second to none, and it's just so sad that we don't have a major professional golf tournament here anymore in the city, which it, to me, is shocking. I think it's the best golf city in the country.
Well, no doubt we as well, and you know, part of the reason why we're out here today is to have this open with the mindset that the USGA would take notice and maybe and hopefully think about us for a future U.S. Adaptive Open that is going to be contested next week or so out in Kansas.
I think there's a pretty good chance that's going to happen. Cog Hill's been such a great supporter of all golf, and what they're doing with the Adaptive Tournament this weekend is amazing. These athletes, to sit there and watch them hit shots is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It's mind-boggling. And then we're talking to a bunch of them last night. Shoot, you're going to have to shoot 2 or 3 under par to have a chance to win today. You know, there's a lot of very, very good players out there that can't do that, that don't have to battle some of the issues that they do. But it's amazing, and they give so much hope to so many younger folks that have had issues, and looking forward to seeing what they do today.
Yeah. So now you did spend a lot of time. You were saying last night how you did spend some of your summers, obviously, with Lee in Barrington. As you played in Chicago as a kid and growing up, what were your top 2 or 3 private and public venues?
Well, I think if you look at public, you've got to go right here. Right. I mean, this facility is incredible. You've got 4 totally different kinds of golf. Dubs Dread is as hard as you want. I mean, I never could figure it out when we played the Western here. you know, it's such a hard golf course, and but it was always fun to play and to come down here, and the support that this tournament got here was incredible. I mean, you look at some of the pictures of Tiger winning his two or three times here, and you know, 40, 50, 60,000 people out here, and I was lucky enough to work with ABC, and we did the event television-wise for a bunch of years after I got smart enough to quit playing. and we saw some great stuff. And I remember a shot Tiger hit the ninth hole one out of the left-hand trees one day that was just absolutely amazing. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be walking along there with him. But, no, it's a public – this is probably as good as it gets. I mean, there's a lot of good public golf in this, in the Midwest particularly. You start looking at the private courses. I loved Medina. There's so many great old the Sunset Ridges, and the you can name hundreds. I mean, literally. I've told people for years that if you want to go play good golf, go to Chicago, start Memorial Day, and play until Labor Day, and you'll play a good golf course every single day. And you look at Medina. The two course, which is technically the ladies' course there, it's a heck of a golf course. If you added 50 yards to every hole there, it'd be as good as three.
Oh yeah.
You know, and there's so many places like that. I just love so many of the old places that, you know, the Anawinses and North Shores, and they're just great golf everywhere you turn. And you know, we're lucky. I mean, Olympia Fields has hosted major championships, mm-hmm. and. You could probably argue it's not in the top 15 or 20 courses in the city.
Andy North with us here on the golf show, right here on ESPN 1000. And yeah, you bring up Olympia Fields there. We saw the BMW Championships there last year, but that may be the last tour stop we'll see here for a little bit of time now. And you brought up earlier as well, Andy, how it's a shame that this is not a perennial stop along the PGA Tour. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, money, politics, you know, there's so many things that get involved in this. And the fact that we don't have the Western Open anymore, I think that's really a shame. You start looking at golf tournaments, golf organizations. They've been around as long as the USGA. They do a great junior. They do a great amateur. They do, you know, obviously the Western Open was one of the best events on tour for 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just a shame. And I know the BMW and the FedEx Cup, a lot of the money still goes to Evan Scholars and that sort of thing, but it's not the same. It was such a good event and such a hard event. When we played at Butler, that was ridiculous how hard that golf course was, particularly the early years. It was bluegrass fairways, trying to play to greens that were impossible, and you're hitting flyers, and it was really a test. You had to figure it out. And but, no, we've had so many great, great events in the Chicago area over the years, the Opens, the PGAs, whatever. It's, you know, just look forward to the next big one.
Well, Andy, given where we are in the state of the game, where do you think we're going to head with this PGA, this PIF, LIV? You got Bryson doing wild and wonderful things. Rory's, I don't know what's happening with Rory. What's your take on all of this?
Well, it is a complicated time, isn't it? I don't know. I wish I had a better handle on what was going to happen. I don't think sometimes the guys in the room doing the negotiations even know where they want to get to. You know, to do a great negotiations in any business, you have to know where you're trying to get. There has to be an end you're trying to get to, and I don't know if that's been the case yet. Maybe they're getting closer to that. But, you know, hopefully we come out with a bigger, better, whatever it's going to be. But the game of golf is in such a great place that it's a shame that the professional level is a little bit messed up right now. And, you know, still great quality play. You look at the major championships, they've been unbelievable. But, you know, you hate to have it split, and hopefully we can figure out a way to make it better.
Andy, are you surprised that we don't really see a light at the end of the tunnel right now, that it's taken as long as it is?
No, not at all. I actually did some ESPN the night that it was announced. They put me on SportsCenter, and At the time, they were talking about, you know, we'll have some idea of what we're going to be doing here in 30 days. I said, shoot, it might be closer to 30 years before we know. You know, this is such a complicated issue, and there's so many moving parts. And, you know, you can argue, do you want to take the money from a certain segment? Do you want to take it from somebody else? I mean, there's just so many moving parts. And I don't see that it's a very simple answer, because how do you let the guys back in that have taken hundreds of millions of dollars when the other guys who are here and stayed here and didn't take it? How does that work? I don't get how you can make that one work very, very, very well and have the guys accept it back. So I think that's probably one of the big stumbling blocks right now.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think you bring up a good point. Not only that, but like guys like Ludwig, for example, when he kind of came into this, where does he stack in all of that ranking, right? Yeah. Because you've got some of the guys that clearly the Rorys and the Max Homas of the world that have been there for a while. But, you know, a guy like Ludwig, you know, he's not necessarily just a little rookie. I mean,
he's a star.
He's an absolute star.
Yeah. If you could go buy stock in him, man, I'd be lining up. You know, it'd be like congressional members knowing what the answer is going to be before they buy, you know. So, no, he's a super talent and a great young guy, and he's great for our game. And, you know, really glad that he's decided the PGA Tour is where he wants to play.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, we had a great opportunity to watch a healthy version of him in the U.S. Open. But being a two-time U.S. Open champion yourself, what was your take on the Open? How did you feel? I mean, because to me, I saw some great theater, some wonderful celebrating, but, man, this game can be cruel, can't it?
Oh, it is. You know, first of all, Pinehurst did an unbelievable job. The golf facility there is second to none. They're one of our host sites, which I think that's one of the best things the USJ has come up with, where they've got now four or five host sites. They've got a lot of events coming up. And because of that, that host site can spend a bunch of money knowing they've got another event in 3 years and another one 5 years after that. So you're not just spending money hoping you can get another event in 15 years or 20 years. And I think it's also helped the USJ invest some money into those host sites. And it's improved dramatically. We're going to another one next year at Oakmont, which is maybe as good a golf course as there is in the world. It is so good. It's if something were to happen at a U.S. Open, maybe there's some damage or a storm came through, Oakmont has always been the backup plan, because you could go there and play in 10 minutes notice, and it's plenty of golf course to have a major championship in. So you don't have to trick it up. You don't have to grow 8-inch rough. It's just the way the members play it every day is just spectacular, and looking forward to that. But I thought this year the theater at the U.S. Open this year was amazing. The finish was incredible. The bunker shot that Bryson hit on the last hole was ridiculous, how good that was. You could put 100 balls down there and not do that again. But it was, you know, it's winning a major championship is hard. You know, that's why Rory hasn't done that in 10, 11 years. He's had a lot of chances, and, you know, it's hard to get to the finish line in any professional sport. You know, making a free throw at the end of a basketball game, that's not easy to do. I mean, the reason these guys can do it is they're pretty darn good at it.
What Walter Hagen said it. What, anybody can win a U.S. Open, but you got to be a pretty darn good player to do it twice. So you ought to know.
And yep, yeah,
it'd have been a lot easier winning that first one at Newport in 1895 when there's only 11 guys. So we've come a long way, and this year's Open was fantastic. It was a real big success for Pinehurst and the USGA, and looking forward to the next one.
Well, we're pleased to be sitting with one of the two-time winners of the U.S. Open. Andy North will hang out with us a little bit longer here on the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back. We do want to get your thoughts on Rory McIlroy and everything else that is taking place in the world of golf right now, where Scotty is in the echelon of great golfers that we're seeing. So all that coming up next, the segment brought to you by PGA Superstore.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
The segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. talking with Andy North here on the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you every single Saturday, talking all things in the world of golf. And Andy, we before the break, we're talking a little bit about what we saw at the U.S. Open and another tough finish for Rory McIlroy right now. It's been a decade since the last time we saw Rory McIlroy win a major championship. And just from everything that you've seen with Rory, it's not like he's playing bad golf right now. I mean, he's had plenty of runner-ups, top fives, top tens over the last 3 years. But what has it been with Rory that, in your eyes, has prevented him from getting over the hump as of late?
Well, he's, you know, he's won a couple of tournaments this year. He's had a terrific year. It's just that, you know, we put so much into the major championships, and if a great player doesn't go and win those, you know, you start wondering. But, you know, he's had a really good run this year. He's played some of the best golf he has in a while. You know, just it's hard to finish and win majors, you know, and we see him miss a short putt once in a while that hurts him, and obviously the one at 16 really had a huge effect on Bryson winning the U.S. Open a few weeks ago, and obviously the one on the 18 he missed was a hard putt. That was, you know, 4 feet downhill, slider to the right. That was a difficult putt. You could miss that one, but the one at 16 you just can't miss. And, you know, if Rory knew what was missing right now, he'd figure it out and he'd do something about it. But God, he's playing great golf, you know, and it's hard, you know, you're not playing tennis against one guy in the finals that you have to beat him. There's a whole lot of other people there, and he's playing well. Some other guys just played better.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about that. But let me ask you a question. You know, there was all this fanfare about, well, he should have come back out. He should have said congratulations to Bryson and all that. And then there's also those that felt that he should have gone to Hartford. What's your take on all that?
Well, I think, you know, we've all been in that situation. I think as a professional, you owe it to go in and talk to the media afterwards. It's not an enjoyable thing to do a lot of times. And he handles it beautifully 99% of the time. It's just this one time he was so crushed. I can understand why he didn't. I would have loved to have seen him do it. But, you know, and I think the week after, you've got to figure out some things, and not going to Hartford probably was a good thing for him for the long run. Obviously, the tournament at Hartford would have loved to have him there. You know, and that's always a catch 22 in this whole deal. But guys are independent contractors. They can do what they want to do. And hopefully he comes back really strong and plays well at the Open Championship in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. No, I think he will. And it'd be fitting if he does come back. But, you know, we are so grateful that you're here with us. And
thanks.
Tyler, wouldn't it be amazing if you had an opportunity to bring Andy with you wherever you went on a golf course and you could ask him any question you ever could think of in terms of trying to hit a shot? What should I do in this situation? Wouldn't that be kind of a cool thing to do?
It sounds like it would save me 10, 12 strokes maybe.
So
we have a deal for you, Todd.
Tell us about Ask Andy.
Well, yeah, that's a great segue. I appreciate that. Now, we're in the process of, we've created and we're in the process of going to launch an app called Northway. And basically, it's much like a lot of the other golfing apps where you can get some yardages, you can get, you know, order food, you can do a lot of, you can do a million things
right
on it. But the biggest thing here, it's a voice-activated app. So you can hit your tee shot, or you stand on the first tee, and there's a bunker, first hole at depth, Stred, there's bunkers on the left. You can ask the app, you know, how far is it to carry the left-hand bunker? And I'll come on, it's 284 yards.
But don't you have to say, hey, Andy?
Well, you start out with that. Yeah, hey, Andy, what's, you know, give me, ask me a question, or whatever. And we're really excited. We think it's going to really revolutionize the game. Too often technology is put together just for technology's sake, and we really want this to be an app that will help people enjoy the game more. Maybe actually you can improve as a player. You know, you can ask me questions. Hey, Andy, how do you hit a draw? Hey, Andy, how do you hit a low shot under the trees? How do you, you know, do? And there's going to be answers. So I think if nothing else, it can be a tool to help improve your golf game. It's going to help you play better on the golf course in rounds because you're not going to hit it in that bunker because you didn't know how far it was, or you're not, or I'll just hit it over that lake. Well, it's a 290-yard carry over the lake. You can't do that. Go ahead and lay up with an 8-iron shore of the lake or something. You know, so I think if can save some people shots and they can enjoy the game more, I think it's going to be a great idea, and we're having a lot of fun with it.
Well, you certainly are. I mean, Tyler, they did a demonstration of this thing, and literally they show somebody asking, "Hey, Andy, how far is it to carry the creek?" And if you leave it on the open setting, he'll say, "Well, it's 215 carry. You've got wind in your face, and I would club up, go up one more club." I mean, he gets into, because of the algorithms, he gets to know your game as much as you play with it. It gets to know you better. Is that a good way to say it?
I think that's excellent, that when you start with the app, you put in how far you hit your clubs.
Right.
So it has a starting point. And then as you hit more 7-irons, it knows you don't hit it 160 yards like you think it does. You hit it 140 yards. So it will be able to elevation change, wind, temperature, humidity, all that will be part of this, so that if a normal 150-yard shot, if it's uphill and whatever, might play 170 or it might play 130 downhill. So it figures all that out and gives you a number that's a real number that will help you hit a better shot.
And, Tyler, just like a normal caddy might rib you on a particular shot or what have you, Andy does the same thing in the app. I mean, you can, like, put on that setting where he will give it to you because
you can get a sarcastic Andy if you like, Tyler. So, you know, like, hey, you've just hit it in this lake the last four times. You've hit, you know, you might catch some grief over that. So, you know, and that's fun. And there's a community aspect of this that I think is probably going to be really cool for particularly the younger set, that you can follow your friends while they're playing. You know, let's say you couldn't do a golf trip with your buddy someplace, but now you can get on the app and follow them and know what they're doing. They hit shots. You can send messages to them how much they suck when they make a double bogey. You know, so I think you can actually gamble with them while you're sitting in the office trying to get some work done and they're out playing someplace. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think as we get deeper into this and people kind of figure out really great ways to use it, it's even going to be more fun.
That's
well,
incredible.
And I think, Tyler, one of the great, I think, demographics that we're talking about is the crew that we have out here, the adaptive audience, right?
We were talking to a couple of guys that have lost their sight.
Yeah.
And think about if, you know, you can just walk up, "Hey, Andy, how far do I have? Or, you know, what do you think I should hit?" Or how, that's unbelievable. I mean, that those kind of little things. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, we've worked really hard to get it to this point, and we're excited to get it in the hands of some people testing. And I think it's going to be great for the younger players, the juniors, that you go out and you don't really have any idea what you're doing half the time when you're 13, 14 years old. You're just hitting it hard. And, maybe club down and hit a little lower shot in there might help you here. You know, you got to hit it up over a tree. This is how you hit it up over the top of this tree. You just don't hit it through it. It doesn't. That's the results aren't great trying to hit it through the tree. So I think it's going to really help the general public play better golf, and I think it's going to help organizers with tournaments. You can do tournament scoring on it, so you can follow every other player in that tournament if they're on the app. So I think it's going to be really a great asset to
guys'
golfers.
Trips.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That would be it. When you told us how that thing works for a crew of 8 or 12 or 16 guys, it's incredible. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. I wish I had a chance to ask Andy when I was growing up at the Village Lakes.
Well, I think that you just brought that up, is that, you know, maybe there's 5 or 6 different ways to play these guy trips. Well, you know, Andy, what? Give me 3 different scoring, you know, let's play best ball. Let's play alternate shot. Let's play scramble, you know, and figure it out. And the app will help you set that up and let you do it.
Well,
so that's going to be fun.
It's absolutely incredible, Tyler. And we, the CDGA, are talking with Northway. So CDGA members out there, get ready. When this thing launches, you're going to have a special opportunity to get involved with this. And let me tell you, It is special.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And on behalf of the CDGA, we couldn't be more proud and have more gratitude for having you come in. And we're going to help you launch this thing, and it's going to be so fun.
Well, we really appreciate it. And what you guys have done in the district for 100 years has been amazing. And, you know, golf is hard enough. If we can give you something to make it more fun and a little bit easier, that's a win on every cat.
I do.
So we're really looking forward to it, and thanks for your help.
I do have to ask you about the whole AI component of it, because there was the story, I don't know if you saw it earlier this week, Andy, of Al Michaels and how NBC is going to be using AI Al Michaels to give recaps of the Olympics, like daily recaps of the Olympics. Does AI, and he said, like, it's incredible how this technology works. It's like within 2% of it being extremely dead on there, but he even said, like, it is a little bit frightening. Does AI scare you a little bit?
I think how you control this moving forward, you know, sometimes our governments aren't very good about figuring this stuff out until the cat's out the bag, you know. So hopefully we can get some rails on this, because for all the good in every one of these new ideas, there's always the flip side of how evil people can use it in other ways. So hopefully they figure that out. It was fun working with the AI people, getting the Andy voice down. And, you know, we've gone through probably 5 or 6 generations, and it now is right on. And I think you have trouble actually telling the difference. So that in itself can be a little bit scary. So, no, but it's a lot of brain power has gone into this. There's a lot of the stuff I don't understand, but I want it simple to use and fun to use. And if I can use it, shoot, anybody can.
Yeah, like, there's evil AI out there. There's friendly AI out there. And, and AI Andy sounds like it's one of the friendly ones. So,
well, hopefully you pick the right setting so that you don't get yelled at too often.
Right. Real quick, before we let you go here, how can you sum up what you've seen from Scottie Scheffler and just the torrid pace that he is on here in 2024?
Yeah, it's been, and it's not just this year. Last year, he was amazing last year. He just didn't win as many tournaments. I mean, he had 15 top fives or some ridiculous number last year, and what he's doing is really fun to watch. He's such a good ball striker, and I think that's what sets him apart right now, is that you look at his shots gained off the tee, tee to green, approach shots. It's staggering how much better he is than everybody else. He's putted just average. And the guy's won 6 tournaments putting average. If he gets on a heater with the putter, no one's going to beat him. And the Wyndham Clark said that after one of the early, says, the dude won the tournament this year putting not very well. We're in trouble if he starts putting really well. So, you know, the guys out there recognize that his ball striking right now is on the par of Tiger in the early 2000s. And that was at a level we didn't know we'd ever see again. And Scotty's, you hear this a lot about people, but he's such a good person, and he's got his act together, and he understands what it takes to do this, and you couldn't ask for a better superstar right now.
No doubt about it. I wholeheartedly agree with that, and I know, like, the Tiger comps are out there, but, like, how far does he have to go to really put himself into that realm? And I look at it, too, like, every single week it was must-watch with Tiger Woods, but maybe the casual sports fan isn't aware of just how brilliant Scottie Scheffler is. How does he work himself into that Tiger realm in terms of being a true needle mover, not just in golf, but in all of sports?
Well, he just needs to keep playing well. I mean, we've had a lot of guys who have done this for a year or two, but very few have done it for 5 or more. You can count on one hand, basically, the guys who have been able to do that, and you start with Jack and Tiger, where they played at this level for year after year after year for 14, 15, 16 years. I mean, that in itself is amazing. But he just, you know, he's not going to be a social media guy. He's not going to pound himself on the chest and tell everybody how good he is. He's just going to go out and do his thing and go home and enjoy time with his family. And I love that about him. But he is special. He's a special dude that hopefully he can continue this over a long period of time, because it would be great for our game.
Absolutely. Andy, thank you so much for spending some time with us, and enjoy everything taking place out at Cog Hill for the Chicago Adaptive Open.
Well, thanks a lot for supporting this so well and being a voice of it. And I look forward to doing this whenever you want.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
Appreciate you.
Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion and ESPN golf analyst with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back here. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Awesome stuff there with Andy North. And Mike, you are on the grounds out at the Chicago Adaptive Open. Andy, a huge supporter of that. And really cool to have him on, talk all things golf with him. And we get a little AI, Andy, as well. So looking forward to that piece of technology coming out into the stratosphere, because that's going to be, I mean, you basically have Andy North as your caddy for 18 holes out there.
No, you do. And what's really cool, Tyler, is you can actually, like, bring him to the range. And so as you're working through your bag, you could say, Andy, how do I hit a draw? How do I hit a punch shot? How do I hit a fade? How do I do this? How do I do that? And it comes back. It's but to your point, it's kind of scary as to yeah. how real this thing is. And it can, I mean, he knows exactly where you're standing. He knows exactly, he'll tell you, you got wind in your face right now. And then you do. It's because it's all linked into through that whole AI. It's incredible. And there's nothing like it that I'm aware of in the market. So this thing is due to come out in August.
Yeah, you can have your 18 birdies or whatever other apps you may use on the course as like your quasi-caddies out there. But it doesn't sound like anything's going to come close to what Andy North is putting out there on the course. And if you missed any of our conversation with him, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app on the CDGA Golf Show tab. You can get all of our podcasts and conversations and stuff there. So yeah, looking forward to talking more with Andy at some point about this when it finally hits the market out there. Did you see this story? This was something that caught me off guard this week in the golf world, but Nelly Korda has withdrawn from a ladies European tour event in London after a dog bite that was the cause of her injury. So she released a statement on social media saying, I regret to announce that I must withdraw from next week's Ladies European Tour tournament in London. On Saturday in Seattle, I was bitten by a dog and need time to receive treatment and recover fully. I apologize to the LET, the sponsors, and my fans for my absence. Thank you for understanding, and I look forward to returning to the course soon. So you don't see out dog bite very often in any sport out there, but do you have, Mike, an obscure injury that has prevented you from hitting the course?
Well, believe it or not, there was a time when I got up in the morning and I absolutely cracked my toe Ooh. Into the corner of either the bed or the dresser. I couldn't remember which one, and honest to God, I couldn't do it. But aside from that, no. But I'm a little concerned for Nelly right now.
Yeah.
And you know, this, her year was nothing but, you know, steak and caviar, it seemed like. And now she can't seem to get out of her own way, and literally out of the way of a dog. And so, you know, do you wonder, was it just a little nip and she just doesn't really want to go over there because she doesn't feel her game is ready? I think if Nelly was on her roll, I think, you know, if she was bit in the leg, I think you'd see a little bandage on it and she'd be grinding through it. But I think given the state of where her game is right now, I think it's somewhat the path of least resistance, maybe?
Perhaps, yeah. And you're right. Like, her season so far this year, it's felt like either she's won the tournament or missed the cut, and there really hasn't been anything in between, it feels like, for her. Now, she is going to go out to Paris to defend her Olympic gold medal later in August, so maybe just trying to get the game ready for that. But yeah, it has been a curious last couple of weeks for her, because she has not been at the top of her game. And remember, I mean, we were talking about this probably a month and a half ago, how her and Scotty together were on an absolutely torrid pace. And it was like between the two of them, their last 10 or 12 events, it was all wins except for one second place finish for Scotty Scheffler. They were going out there and dominating the competition every single time they teed it up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and no doubt. In fact, some would argue that Nelly's record at one point was better than Scotty's earlier in the year.
For sure.
And, you know, when she was going for number six. But now she can't even come close to making the cut to try to get to another win. And, you know, you just wonder, because I think, Tyler, you brought up the Olympics. You know, is that where she wants to sort of make the mark, you know, come back with another major win, you know, defend her gold medal, so to speak? Because, you know, if she goes over now, it's going to be a long time that she's going to stay over there, I would imagine. And or did she want to avoid going over, having to come back and then go back over? Because I know some of the male guys, the male players are going over to play in that Scottish, the British, and then stick around for the Olympics.
Yeah. All right, coming up at 10 o'clock, we'll talk with Andrew Lehman, the tournament director for the John Deere Classic. But before we do that, when we come back, there is something incredible that took place at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. They are in a weather delay right now, but we'll get you everything that's going on along the tour stop right now with the Rocket Mortgage Classic taking place up at Detroit Golf Club. All that coming up next. This segment has been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Mike is live out at the Chicago Adaptive Open that will be teeing off about 20 minutes from now, right here on the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday, and that event will be streaming tomorrow on the CDGA TV YouTube channel, and you'll get Dan Rohn on the call. So how about
that? Right.
It'll be a fantastic event that's taking place out there, and it is free. So for anyone who lives out near Cog Hill or just wants to go out and see some golf today, get on out there to Cog Hill. Free admission, so you can get in, bring your family, all that good stuff, and you can see some fantastic golf out there. There's been, just the way that you describe seeing some of the shots that you've seen, whether it's practice rounds or you've been at some of these events in the past as well, Mike, it is incredible what these men and women are able to do out there on the golf course.
Oh, there's no question about that. And it's funny, they're just really putting on a chipping and putting display right to my left. They've got quite the gallery and everybody around. We've probably got a couple of hundred people standing around the first tee waiting for Andy North and the legendary Frank Jemczak to get things started off at 10:10, and the crowd is starting to gather. So, like you said, folks, come on out. This is get a Cog Dog. You know, how about this? You get a sandwich and chips for $6.50. I mean, where are you going to go around Chicago? And it's the best hot dog you could ever have. But come on out and be inspired, and really just be in utter awe. And you know, I'm just so proud of these athletes and what they've done and what they've overcome. They've all got great stories. And what's really, really, really cool is that the gratitude and the appreciation that these men and women have for all of us organizing it. Because, you know, when you work on a Ryder Cup and you work on a PGA Championship, you know, the likes of Tiger Woods and, you know, the Jack Nicklauses that I've met and Palmers, all nice people. But they kind of expect certain things to be done a certain way. Here, the gratitude is so genuine and so real, and the impact has been tremendous. Me personally, having to a chance to speak with these athletes. And what we're doing here in Chicago for these people is Chicago is looking very, very good, and we should be proud of the event that we're going to be putting them on for them, because the word is going to get out, and I guarantee you next year, I bet we have at least 100 players next year. And I'm looking so forward to once this event is over, I will be going out to the United States Open out in Kansas a week from Tuesday to be out and see probably about 30 or 35 of our competitors are in the field at the U.S. Open. And hopefully someday in a few years, we will get a U.S. Open here to Chicago. And it's a good thing I have Mr. Andy North in our pocket, because he's on the executive committee at the USGA. So at least I know I've got one vote.
All right. Looking at what's taking place now at the Rocket Mortgage Classic out of Detroit Golf Club, Akshay Bhatia and Aaron Rye are your co-leaders right now at 13 under. Couple other notables on the leaderboard: Cam Young at 11 under right now after his torrid run last week, where he fired a 59 and then followed it up the next day by birdieing each of his first four holes at the Travelers. And then Joel Damon tied for seventh right now at 10 under. How about one of the local guys? And Nick Hardy, who currently sits at 7 under and a tie for 26th. Good to see Nick playing well, and he went 5 under yesterday, so good to see that he is getting back into the groove of things. Will Zalatoris also at 7 under in that group as well. But really, the one of the big stories that came out of this tournament is the performance of not just an amateur, but a 15-year-old Miles Russell, who went out there and after getting the exemption into this event, he fired a 70 yesterday, a 2-under yesterday, including a chip-in birdie. But what this 15-year-old is doing out there on the tour is phenomenal. I mean, for him to be, he did not make the cut, but for him to go and finish even for the first two rounds of this and be ahead of PGA Tour players was nothing short of remarkable there. I mean, he went out there and finished ahead of guys like Gary Woodland and Alex Noren, Kevin Kisner, Stuart Sink, like all these guys who are well recognizable names on the PGA Tour. And what do you know, a 15-year-old finished ahead of them in this event.
Yeah, he also beat Tom Kim. And Tom was like literally in the middle of all the ruckus last week on TV. So how do you think that makes a 15-year-old feel going back to go play with his own age group again?
Right.
I mean, it's only going to make him just feel like any junior tournament is just, it's like small potatoes now. And that's how legends are built. I mean, they get to a stage early in their life, they get comfortable on that stage, and then look out. And that's exactly what happened with Tiger. That's what happened with a lot of these phenoms, the Jordan Spieths of the world. They got a taste of it as a junior, and quite honestly, it fits them well, and they're comfortable on that stage. Not most 15-year-olds could handle what he just did this weekend. But, you know, Tyler, it does go to show you, this game for our youngsters is becoming something other than I've never seen before. How good they are and how composed and how polished their games are at such a very young age. And when we were off air, you know, Andy said the same thing. He said, you know, it's all because of these indoor facilities. We now, these kids have chances to practice up in this climate year round. And he said, it's amazing the technology and how the kids have embraced it, and it has truly helped the younger generation, I think, get far, far better than any younger generations of decades ago. It's just mind-boggling how much better they are in this day and age than 15-year-olds when, well, even Andy North, we were talking about the scores he won with 1967. He wouldn't be making cuts in this day and age, yeah, with what he shot.
You know, it's funny too, when in watching Miles out there on the course, the thing that stood out to me about him being out there among all the PGA Tour professionals and amateurs with significant experience was his bag. Did you notice this? You know, everyone's got the no stand bag, these like big bulky things. And then Miles Russell has something that it looks like you could buy at Dick's Sporting Goods. It's got the stand and everything. The caddy is setting it down. And I just found that very amusing to see how he looked like any other 15-year-old, whatever bag they would have out there, versus these big bulky things that all these PGA Tour professionals are lugging around.
Oh, I know. And, you know, that is the sign of a kid who is comfortable in his own skin. He doesn't feel like he needs all of that. And you got to remember, these kids make those bags as light as humanly possible,
right?
Because they have to carry it themselves most of the time. So it's good to see an event like this happen, but it doesn't change who he is and how he goes about his business. And to me, that's the sign of a future superstar.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we will talk with Andrew Lehman, the tournament director of the John Deere Classic. That's all coming up next. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.